531.
With over 2 million views across social media, as well as becoming one of the youngest people to be nominated for 4 awards at the 2018 New Zealand Comedy Guild Awards, including Best Newcomer and Breakthrough Comedian of the Year, one of the brightest stars in New Zealand comedy right now is none other than Mr. Joe Damon, who is joining us live in a studio to talk more about his career, his epic work, and, well, to talk about heritage as well, I'd say. Nisa Yandra Vinaka, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Joe.
Vinaka Vagalevu Bras.
Welcome,
thank you very much for having me, Elf. Cheers, Brian. Thank you.
Good. Well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit about yourself, young man.
So a little bit about me. I'm incredibly handsome, very funny. You know, I've been all the way around town and back. I mean, you boys see you boys see yourselves. No, I but born and raised in Lower Hutt Wellies, which is the second best suburb in the Wellington area.
To Upper Hutt.
It's the second best suburb in the Hutt Valley, even though there's only two. But so born and raised Lower Hutt, from Wanuamata. So from a bit of a rugby background, even though I am no good at rugby. And
welcome.
Yeah.
To good. Other no good at rugby.
Good to meet you. At least you could fool people.
You're safe.
People knew straight away that I had no idea what I was doing on the field, especially when you spent 80 minutes on the bench. So, but went to Scots College.
Oh, Scots.
Yeah.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, I think.
What did the Storms player? Was it the Storm player that went there? What's his name? The tall Samoan boy?
No.
Solomona? No, it wasn't Scott Samoan.
No, he went to Wellington. Yeah, he went to Wellington Cole.
Can
I humble brag for a second?
Okay, then come on. Humble.
Okay, I played against Nelson year 13, and yep. I did actually tackle him. There were four other guys as well, but, you know, I was
we'll give it
too.
To you, bro. Yeah, we'll give it to you, man.
Mind you, all 2 meters of the guy.
Yeah.
So talk to us about this whole thing, comedy, you know, for yourself. Mm. I mean, you know, blowing up on social media. And I must say, I very much like the whole, you know, you're very, very creative in a lot of the different scenarios. I think one of my favorite ones at the moment is the whole dad on the sideline there. So, that's good. But how did it all start for you, comedy here, Joe?
My main avenue into it was through stand-up. Social media is kind of a new thing for me. It's really within the last sort of two years. I've been doing stand-up for about 3. But where I got my first inkling of wanting to do stand-up was doing 21st speeches, just at my mate's 21st. And it got to the point where I enjoyed doing it so much, I used to go to, like, 21st of dudes that I didn't really know that well, just like get up, make up stories, and then just peace out. And I think that was where I really learned how much I love sort of just being on stage and telling stories. So I kind of started there, and then June 2017, I went and did my first gig at the Classic Comedy Club on Queen Street, and it's kind of just been
So let me get this straight: as a starter, you literally crash other people's birthdays. Just so you could get...
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to say crash, Alf, but, you know...
secretly.
I think I knew the stage was where I should end up when, my big moment at the 21st was doing the speech, and then I'd usually clock out by then. So,
hey. And the other big one, I mean, early on in your career, what's the story? After only 3 shows, you had that humble Wainui confidence to approach one of the biggest comedy stars in New Zealand to ask him to, hey... You need me?
I think big Wanui confidence is the perfect way to put it. I think you couldn't have said it any better. But yeah, so basically the story for anybody that doesn't know is, my third gig in, I reached out to Rhys Darby, who, everybody kind of knows, and asked him if he needed a bit of an opener, and that I knew a dude that was ready for an opener. He'd only done 3 gigs, so... The way I kind of put it to people is, I put it on the news story that people are kind of seeing is... Imagine if a guy had played guitar 3 times,
yep.
And then went and asked 660 if he could be part of the band. That's effectively like what that is. So,
I bet you somebody has done that already.
I would like to think so. I hope I'm not the only one.
So here's my question, right? You know, us as Pacifica people, we always encourage our kids to do things that give a career where you can see some kind of income, right?
Yeah.
You have to understand, big we time. As Pacifica people, we the children is the retirement fund.
Yeah.
Now, come on,
tell me. Yeah. Speak to me, what was it like when you told mom and dad that? It was like, yeah, son. You either be a doctor or a... Well,
I'm
just going to be a comedian. What was, you know, how has your family kind of taken the fact of your career pathway?
Yeah, it's so funny, like, talking to, all my sort of Pacific brothers and sisters. They know how it would have gone without even having to say it. It's exactly that. I mean, my parents called me, they call me KiwiSaver. I think that's how they are. That's my nickname at Christmas.
So they weren't lying at all.
Ratu Saver.
Yeah. Ratu KiwiSaver.
Saranga boy.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's exactly what you thought, Alf. I think they were definitely supportive. They didn't want to, shy me away from wanting to shoot for the stars, but there's definitely been a long journey of conversations that have involved, I mean, it's great that you're doing this now, but you really have to start looking at other avenues. I think it was kind of tough for all of us. Even I found it tough personally when my mates started moving into, because I started at university and then dropped out with only a few semesters to go. So I think it started to get tough when a lot of my mates were progressing into their careers and, I've got mates that are doctors and financial analysts, so they're all doing extremely well for themselves and here I am.
It's like you literally needed to find another bubble to justify your existence.
I went and broke a few bubbles and that was that was before coronavirus. It's definitely been sort of a journey for all of us to really get on board, but I think a period like now is kind of what you really hope comes along, because I think that's where you get the buy-in, from your family big time. So.
In terms of, like, growing up in Wainui and, from what I know of Wainui, being a Wellingtonian myself, in the way of islanders, Pacific Island community, maybe not as big. Talk to me growing up, because, Māori, Fiji, and how you navigate that whole cultural identity space, Joe, growing up.
I mean, in all honesty, bro, it's been something that I've struggled with, I would call it a struggle, and not even in a negative sense, just that probably to this day I'm still trying to figure it out. I think one of the reasons, I feel like my comedy probably resonated is because it came from, it probably comes from the perspective of an outsider, because I think for a long time growing up, that's sort of what I felt like on both sides. So, I talk about it quite often. I think to a lot of my Māori cousins, they always kind of saw me as like their islander cousin, and so I was a little bit left out in that sense. And then a lot of my sort of Pacific Island cousins, for lack of a better way to put it, I was always kind of seen as white to them. And then to my Pākehā, friends and family, they I was kind of just
perfect bouncer.
Yeah.
Get you in the marae.
Through
a group of happy, angry looking.
Yeah, islands. Yeah. No, you know what I'm saying. If I was trying to sit next to the TV, they kept telling me stand by the door. Make sure your uncle doesn't take anything more than what we told him to.
Well, as an honorary Caucasian, I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So, I'm glad there's two of us.
What would you share with some parents that are listening in today that are worried that their children might be taking a path that in their world where they came from is considered hobby? And the perfect definition of instability.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so hard because, my parents, concerns, I fully agreed with. I totally understood because I had those same concerns myself. I think what parents probably should realize is, passion is so hard to see in, not even just kids, but just people. Mm. And so I think, if you see your kid has this, really undying, unwavering passion in this one thing, regardless of whether you can see a future on it, I really think that's something you should take advantage of, because that passion may never come back again for anything else. So,
nice.
I know for me, it was a struggle finding my passion, and then as soon as I did comedy, I think that's why I had this instant sort of confidence, because it was like what I was really passionate about, regardless of whether I was actually good at it or not just yet. Mm. So,
come on, that's awesome.
Yeah, I would say that to parents for sure.
describe to me your very first time on stage, like, you know, your very first stand-up show. Describe to me what it's like. You're standing there, you're looking out at the audience, you know, and they've paid money to for you to make them laugh.
Yeah.
What was it like?
I think it was tough, I think, for all the reasons that had nothing to do with me doing the stand-up, because I think I was at quite a transitional stage in my life where I was trying to figure out, like, you know, what I really wanted to do. I was obviously searching for my passions, and so I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to make it work. But then at the same time, I think I really did go into it just like, all right, whatever happens. So I was incredibly nervous. I don't think I've talked about this a whole lot. So my first time I actually signed up, the day I was supposed to do it, I actually called the owner of the comedy club and said I was sick. And so the first time I was actually supposed to do it, I didn't do it. And then instead of him going like, sweet ass man, we'll just get in touch another time, he goes, all right, well, I'll put you on the next week. And oof. I tell people all the time, I think if he didn't just go ahead and put me on the next week, I would,
wow,
it probably would have been another few months. And I think by then I may have just convinced myself to not try it at all. So
wow.
It was definitely nerve-wracking, and I wasn't comfortable until the second I got on stage. But then as soon as I got on stage, like, I knew straight away that, yeah, this is me. Yeah.
I want to ask you a question, because a lot of the stuff I've seen, you know, especially in shows, freaking Dangerous Bro, you toured with them, yeah, they're, you know, highly successful. A lot of the audiences that you perform in front of are predominantly, yeah, you know, Pālangis, yeah, you know, Māori and that.
They wanted the money.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. Yeah. Okay, KiwiSaver.
They're the ones with debit cards, I think, that's that.
In terms of, like, you know, performing in front of, you know, say, like, a predominantly PI crowd, have you ever, and if so, you know, do the nerves become even more heightened?
Yeah, this is actually something I've never been asked before, and it is something I truly feel, is because, yeah, when I first started off, obviously most of the crowds are Pālangi, and I built my confidence in front of those crowds, like, I know them in and out, and because Pacific Islanders in particular, we don't really go to a lot of comedy.
Just, we live in comedy, man.
Yeah,
we're born into comedy.
Like, absolutely. Like, I don't blame them for not turning up, because it's funnier at their house than you know, at some of the gigs that I end up doing. But yeah, I think it was definitely when I moved onto social media and I started seeing, like, the feedback from, like, my fellow Pacific Islanders, it was actually nerve-wracking for me, because for ages I never actually felt, you know, comfortable addressing that side, because, you know, I was always a little bit of an outsider. And I think my biggest, in all honesty, my biggest and most proudest moment has been, you know, how I've been embraced by, like, not even just, you know, my fellow Fijians, but by the Pacific Island community as a whole. I think that's why I wanted to come in here and you know, like, actually step foot, is because it's incredibly proud, incredibly massive sense of pride that I feel being, you know, being a part of it. And yeah, it's just really good to sort of be embraced. Yeah.
Hecklers are part of the comedy world.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how do you handle that? And how, I mean, how much...
Your best comeback, even.
Yeah.
In elf way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Around that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a story.
Yeah. You know. No, so, I mean, hecklers, they're actually really, yeah, really, really common. And for me in particular, I kind of invite them at my shows, so...
Yeah, oh, you are brave, boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fella, strong, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, run a ball, son. Yeah, so I'm pretty open to heckling. It's such a normal... I mean, such a normal thing.
Do you train for this? I mean, because you have to get into the mind, right? Because you've got your set right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I don't know. I mean, for me, if I were talking with Brian and somebody bring in something that, man, it'll totally throw me off.
Yeah.
And not only that, people will laugh at the heckler. Then they're like, what am I here to
do? Yeah, yeah.
And then your Islander side turns in. I'm like, hey, boy, outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you keep your composure?
Yeah, well, I think for me, like, it was such a natural thing because of, like, my family, you know, Fijians in particular. It's just... It's just rubbish all day long. So you get so used to having to give it, having to receive it. And so my natural instinct was, when I was on stage, was engaging with the crowd, because in stand-up comedy, that isn't actually as common, especially when you're starting out. Most people will just have their material and they'll just stick to it. Whereas I've been at a lot of gigs where, you know, it's a young poly dude, like, getting up there for his first time, and his first instinct is to engage the crowd.
Yes,
so
of course.
It's just a natural thing to us. I think for me, it was something that isn't usually as common, that somebody has, you know, a natural ability to engage the crowd. But that was something I kind of had from day one. I think my struggle was actually coming up with material and stuff to say on stage. So,
well, there's a lot of great material. Something not so funny that you addressed recently in the wake of, you know, the Black Lives Matter, George Floyd, was a post around racism and an incident, you know, which you even said still impacts you to this day. That happened, what, 5 years ago?
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago. I think with... kind of what's happening over in America, I didn't even feel any obligation. I feel like I just felt like, at least speaking about my experience, because I think what I've seen on the internet is, you know, a lot of people have been using sort of the measurement for racism as America as the reference point for that. And the way I look at it is like, that's obviously the most extreme way and it's a horrible way, but our people kind of put up with it, you know, in our own way, on our own level, and you know, the way I try to get across is like, you may not understand what the experiences feel like, but you understand what it feels like to be humiliated. You understand what it feels like to, you know, question yourself, but you know, for absolutely no wrongdoing of your own. So, I think just really trying to get across to my audience that it's a real thing here as well. And for, you know, for just no other reason than, just I think people do sort of pass it off because they see the problems overseas and you know, think because it's not as extreme it's worth dismissing here, but it's for no other obligation than just I felt like speaking on it, and I was really glad it was received well, because yeah, no doubt if I got cancelled, you boys probably wouldn't hear from me again. So.
No, we'll bring you back just to hear how you got cancelled.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome. The most comedic favour we can do.
Oh, please. You guys would help me do the cancel interview?
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
All right, I'll see you boys in 2 weeks.
So, yeah. Now that we're in Alert Level 1, hey, welcome. You're our first Alert Level 1 guest.
Oh, yeah. Fancy, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so
If you're just listening, I'm just kissing the boys on the lips as we speak for celebrate level one.
Brian, let go now, Brian.
Okay, then. So, in terms of from kissing to what's coming up in the, you know, like, well, what's in the cards for the rest of 2020 there, young Joe Damond?
So, actually, I'm announcing a tour tonight, so I'm just doing quite a quick one doing Hamilton.
Tonight, or do you want to do the exclusive announcement here?
Oh, well, yeah, we'll do the exclusive one here. I think it's the least I can do for you boys. So going on a quick 3-city tour, doing Hamilton, Wellington and Christchurch. So doing Hamilton on the 20th of June, Wellington, I don't even know my own dates, but doing Wellington on the 28th of June and then Christchurch on the 20th. So we'll be announcing all those tonight, but yeah, that's an exclusive right here on PMN.
Nice.
You heard it here first.
Come on.
Yeah.
And all of, especially Hamilton, has a very big, you know, proud Fijian population.
It really does.
And they'll be, all the aunties and uncles, I'm sure, will be out in force to support you.
Yeah. Now, when I said I'll get cancelled, it's after that gig. From my own aunties and uncles as well.
Isa! It's in my ears!
Hey, Joe, why are we paid to see you? Just come on,
Isa! So, with that, Mr. Joe Damond, where can people see more of your incredible content and find out more about you and what's happening in the world of Joe Damond from Wainui?
Yeah, so Instagram seems to be where people are finding me, just joe.damond, and then I think TikTok as well seems to be another place, Joe Damond. Yeah, you can follow me all over there. That's where I'm posting everything, and yeah, you can follow me home. So, sorry, boys. I'm in trouble. I'm definitely getting in trouble after this.
Stop the kissing. I'm getting in trouble. Stop the kissing. Okay, then. Well, it's a very big thank you, Venagavaka Level. Joe, yeah, we've been really blessed to have you on the show, young man. Keep up the amazing work, and, you know, all the best with the navigating of the cultural identity. Hey,
appreciate it, bro.
If your nose is anything to go by, trust me. You are.
I'm well a part of it.
Come on.
Appreciate it, bro. Thanks, Al.
Billy Davambati, went to Scott College.
Shut up, Big Bill.
Very good. Well, thank you again, and all the very best. God
appreciate
bless.
It, brother. Thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome. It is 26 minutes. Wait, don't turn off the. We'll do something. It's 26 minutes to 9, 5:31 PI, Pacific People Together.
Keep kissing.